Every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves, therefore, are its only safe depositories, and to render even them safe, their minds must be improved to a certain degree. This is Thomas Jefferson. This is a quote that today I wasn't really sure where to start this program today, because we're going to continue, I guess, on a vein of education back with the hemp and the CBD. But what that stems from is the tyranny of ideas and thoughts. And what stimulated this, a friend of mine asked me the other day who I intended on voting for, and I told him that I really don't think I'm going to waste my time to vote. And he says, well, you have to be involved. You have to go vote, or you're going to be wasting a vote, or you'll be casting a vote for Hillary. And the argument was on. And then he asked me, and this was the stimulating thing, he asked me, Fred, what would it take for you to go down and vote? What would make it seem worthwhile? And I thought about it, and I thought about what Jefferson said, that to keep this republic, we need an informed citizenry. We need an educated citizenry. Mark Twain said that all schools and all colleges have two great functions: to confer and to conceal valuable knowledge. The theological knowledge which they conceal cannot justly be regarded as less valuable than that which they reveal. So with that in mind, I'd like to play this clip. Now, this is a clip from Terrence McKenna, and we've played Terrence a few times on here, but this is a clip where he discusses language and how we perceive a lot of things that are being used to control our civilization. Sam, would you go ahead and play that first clip, please?
Food of the gods, the substances that all through the ages have helped us alter our awareness, our perception of reality. Terence McKenna is a writer, a speaker, and in fact an activist. And what's your feeling when I say drugs?
Well, drugs is a word which has polluted the well of language. Part of the reason we have a drug problem is because we don't have an intelligent language to talk about substances, plants, psychedelic states of mind, sedative states of mind, states of amphetamine excitation. We can't make sense of the problem and the opportunities offered by substances unless we clean up our language. Drugs is a word that's been used by governments to make it impossible to think creatively about the problem of substances and abuse and availability and so forth and so on.
In the minds of the people, the word drugs, which was once used as healing medications, and still drug companies that make, Tylenol are considered very legitimate.
Well, yet, so isn't, it's a kind of a paradox, isn't it? Drugs mean that which cures us and the greatest social problem of the generation. So there, right there, you see the schizophrenia involved in thinking about drugs. Apparently there are good drugs sanctioned by science and medicine and bad drugs used by brown people in strange rites and growing in unusual plants in distant parts of the world. This kind of thinking, because it's naive, leads, of course, to social problems and bad politics and bad social policy.
Your stance has been to at least look for what you call those strange plants and strange substances in strange places. You originally were a botanist, or you still are.
Yes, and from the time I was very young, I was fascinated with the idea of extremely dramatic changes in consciousness from which one recovers after a few hours, induced by plants. And I discovered through the writing of Aldous Huxley and other people that this was a worldwide religious and cultural phenomenon that my own Catholic middle-class upbringing had completely overlooked and denied. And I've been fascinated with it ever since. You know, it's a bit like sexuality. It's something which the Calvinist intellect would just prefer didn't exist. But in fact, the phenomenon of being human beings in animal bodies with a relationship to nature makes it important for us to address these altered states of consciousness and the plants, the substances, and the cultural institutions that come into being around these things.
Your thesis in many books has been that these substances have had a far greater influence on culture and still have and will have than most people would like to accept or like to see.
Yes, I mean, to my mind, human history is the story of one substance after another distorting or transforming human values and society. A perfect example would be sugar. Most people don't even think of sugar as a drug, and yet we may think cocaine distorted moral and political values in Latin America, but sugar brought back slavery. Slavery actually died with the Roman Empire. Nobody worked agricultural products with slaves in the Middle Ages. It wasn't until the early 1400s that the Portuguese began producing sugar, and they used up Jews and prisoners, and so then they started buying human beings from Arab traders. And the Pope was in on the deal, and everybody was in on the deal. I mean, this is drug corruption of the central institutions of society on a massive scale.
But that has gone on till our days. We have alcohol, we have tobacco.
Well, this is my very point, that every society chooses a small number of substances, no matter how toxic, and enshrines them in its cultural values, then demonizes all other substances, and uses and then persecutes and launches witch hunts against those users whenever some political pretext requires witch hunts and persecutions. So it's an old game, and it's been played in many places. Hopefully, part of the advancement of society toward ideas of universal human rights and that sort of thing, it certainly must include the idea of the universal human right to take responsibility for and to alter your own state of consciousness as you see fit. I don't think we can even pretend that we are on the edge of a civilized dialogue until we grant that people's minds, like their bodies, must be a domain free from government control. In American law, we have the notion of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If the pursuit of happiness means anything, it must mean the right to use and experiment with substances and plants.
But do we need, say, more research, or do we know all we need to know about entheogens or hallucinogens?
No, we need endless amounts of research. The fact that these things have been illegal in most countries for 50 years means there is a huge lag in understanding the impact of these things on human beings. How many people have taken MDMA, and yet MDMA has not been thoroughly studied by science? How many people have smoked DMT? Same thing. In a way, by making these drugs illegal, we're setting ourselves up for a potential catastrophe someday when some side effect is overlooked because the drugs were not rationally reviewed with an eye not toward keeping them out of the hands of the public, but with an eye toward public safety and educating the public in safe use of these things. The state should not, in the matter of drugs, any more than in the matter of sex, act as the secret agent for the agenda of the church. And that's what's happening. People want to stimulate themselves. They want to explore their consciousness. They want to sedate themselves. Who are we to stand in their way with a moral ideology and the long, heavy arm of the law to interfere with that? It distorts civilized values. But that's the bottom line. Drug repression distorts civilized values and political discourse.
Many people emphasize the bad effects of using, I don't know, LSD, DMT. Do you think there are positive effects in general, and are there positive effects that are yet to be discovered?
Well, yes. I mean, anyone who has actually been around people using psychedelics know they have tremendous therapeutic potential, tremendous potential to launch people into confrontations with aspects of their personality or their history that they are in denial of. The people who hold that these psychedelic substances have no application have very little actual personal experience with them. It's the old story of my mind is made up, don't confuse me with facts.
Would psychology be further ahead? Would you have learned more about the way the human mind works on itself in an interaction with others if the research, say, on the use of LSD or ibogaine or many, many of these substances would have proceeded in an orderly and what you could call scientific matter way?
Yes, I think it's a great tragedy of 20th century science that the original excitement about exploring consciousness and mental illness generated by the discovery of LSD gave way to establishment paranoia and repression of drug-using populations. The excitement in psychology when LSD was first introduced was like the excitement in the physics community when the atom was smashed, and everybody thought, well, now we'll understand mental illness, schizophrenia, the memory, so forth and so on. And instead, the government lost its nerve because it saw that these substances have a potential for deprogramming people to institutional values. And that was so terrifying that all the promise for mental illness and creativity studies and so on was sacrificed to institutional paranoia about the fact that drugs might actually cause people to wake up to some of the abuses and scams that were being run by late modernism and capitalism.
Clear.
Thank
Clear.
You, Terrence. Thank you.
That was a pretty entertaining clip from Terrence McKenna. And I'd like to play this other clip because this brings us into some more discussions about what's the part of our education that's been left out, the part of our education that's been illegal for 70 or 80 years. Sam, go ahead and start that second clip. We're going to stop it.
Every day. Did you know that certain cells in our brain and our central nervous system actually have cannabinoid receptors? Cannabinoid, that sounds an awful lot like cannabis. Isn't that marijuana? So does that mean that we evolved to receive marijuana? And if our brains do have cannabinoid receptors, does that mean that we're hardwired to get high? In this video, I'm going to talk about what cannabinoid receptors are and answer these questions. First off, cannabis comes from the ancient Greek word for the common hemp plant. So we are talking about marijuana here. Marijuana actually contains more than 85 different cannabinoid chemicals. The most commonly known is the tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, the primary psychoactive substance in marijuana. Now, before the 1980s, scientists really didn't know how marijuana affected the brain or body, but they were very interested to find out. And in 1988, they discovered some different chemical receptors in the brain that responded to marijuana. And since those receptors were just being discovered while they were investigating the effects of marijuana, they decided to go ahead and call those receptors cannabinoid receptors. So since our brain does have these cannabinoid receptors, someone might get the idea that our brains are hardwired to receive marijuana. But that's really not the case. The fact is that there are many natural neurotransmitters that these receptors are meant to receive. It wasn't until 1988 that they discovered these first cannabinoid receptors, but it wasn't until 1992 that they discovered the actual natural neurotransmitters that those receptors are made to receive. The naturally occurring neurotransmitter that these receptor sites are built to receive are called endocannabinoids. And the marijuana chemical component found in the plant is called phytocannabinoids. So endocannabinoids are the naturally occurring hormone, and they don't cause you to get high the way phytocannabinoids do. So THC is a phytocannabinoid, which is chemically similar but not identical to the endocannabinoids that are naturally occurring. So because it's chemically similar enough, it will bond to those same receptor sites. But because it's not an identical chemical, it'll have a different effect than the natural effect of the endocannabinoids. Psychoactive drugs interact with the central nervous system in this way. Their chemical shape is similar enough that they can bind to those natural receptors, but because they are not the same chemical, they have a different effect. So LSD will bind to serotonin receptors, cocaine will bind to dopamine receptors, and amphetamines will bind to norepinephrine receptors. So the only difference here is that serotonin receptors and dopamine receptors were discovered before LSD and cocaine use were being examined. Cannabinoid receptors were discovered while they were researching marijuana, so they got that name. But you don't hear about LSD-anoid receptors or cocaine-anoid receptors because those receptors were discovered before LSD and cocaine were being studied. So you see how the term cannabinoid receptor is a little misleading. Really, these are endocannabinoid receptors that are receiving and being binded to by phytocannabinoids from the marijuana plant. So it's just like serotonin receptors, which naturally bind with serotonin, but which can also bind with the unnatural foreign substance of LSD. And just like Prozac can also bind with serotonin receptors, you don't hear them saying Prozaconoid receptors because that would be very misleading. So your brain did not evolve to get high. We are not hardwired to smoke marijuana. Another example is opioid receptors. Opioid receptors are named after the opioids like heroin that they also receive, but they are really meant to receive endorphins. So really these are endorphin receptors that also can receive opioids like heroin. Now there is one recreational drug that does occur naturally in the body, and that's DMT. But it naturally occurs in extremely small, small quantities. And when someone ingests a large amount of DMT, they trip. Coming up in a future video, we're going to talk more about pornography.
That pretty much describes the effects that have been concealed or distorted. And we need to look at things like what Thomas Jefferson said, like, whenever things get so far wrong as to attract their notice, the people, if well informed, may be relied on to set them to right. Well, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. This is Captain Fred. We're going to take a short break, and coming back, I think we've got a couple callers. I think Jim Strain from Greenacre Hemp Farm is going to be on. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
The self-taught man seldom knows anything accurately, and he does not know a tenth as much as he could have known if he had worked under teachers. And besides, he brags and is mean and is the means of fooling other thoughtless people into going and doing as he has thoughtlessly done to himself. That's what we've been subjected to here in the United States with the illegalization of a plant that has been used in natural history for millennium. And I think Jim Strang with the Green Acres Hemp Farm has called in, and Jimbo, this program lately has turned into an educational program about hemp, about marijuana, and we've talked before about CBD and the effects of CBD, and I think I'd like to try to direct a little more of the conversation towards THC. Are you with me on that?
Sure.
You know, I know that the SSRIs, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, are popular with psychiatrists. They're popular with people. You know, and psychiatrists don't have a test that really determines the amount of any of those drugs they need or whether or not they need them at all. And people are coming around to using marijuana and specifically the THC for recreational purposes. And I think it's just a form of relaxation more than it is anything else. And you're involved in the industry up there. Are you seeing any changes with the popular perception of THC now? Are they beginning to realize that it's pretty much harmless used if it's used in a, I guess, a responsible way? Like alcohol?
Yeah, we're finding a lot of people coming up here are on vacation are definitely trying it. We have, like, at the market up here, we're in Pagosa, and you've been up here. There's a shop across the street, and I tell you, that place, people coming in and out of there from 8 a.m. until we leave here, and I noticed the majority of them are 50-plus years old. So it's definitely people are definitely trying it.
Is there anybody that I know that the doctors, marijuana prescribing doctors, are prescribing it for a lot of anti-anxieties and things like that? But it seems to me, I've noticed and spoke with several people that are using using THC or using the recreational marijuana to come off of some of those dangerous, like Prozac or Zoloft or all those SSRI drugs. And are you running into people like that or mentioning it to you? I mean, I know that a lot of people are doing it, but is it becoming an acceptable form of treatment in Colorado?
Yeah, well, we had that call from Bob 3 or 4 weeks ago, who was on some pretty heavy narcotics from his accident because he's, you know, he's paraplegic. So he actually got off doing the THC oil off all the heavy narcotics pretty quick. And I've treated a few people with here in town or here in Colorado that are kind of anxiety, and THC seems to bring that out a little bit more with people. So I've kind of realized that's probably not a good thing if you have a lot of anxiety.
Huh. Well, you know, the CBD seems to just be more of a energizer than anything else. And, you know, people don't classify THC as an antidepressant, do they? Or as a depressant? What do you think it is? It's a psychotropic?
I couldn't answer that. I'm not sure how to answer that question.
Well, see, this goes,
you know,
back
everybody's
to the whole
different.
Problem. The whole problem is that the country has been on the back burner of a truthful discussion and dialogue, at least of medicine or healing, without the conversation of the hemp or marijuana plant. And I think we're just now coming off of that. And how can we? I know, you know, I've spoke to you about Adams State and their position with the hemp industry, and I've done some work looking at their programs, and they don't yet have a program for the study of cannabis, but they're offering a lot of seminars and a lot of, what would you call it? I'm stuck for a word for it. But the conferences that they're offering, people that are knowledgeable about some of these things are coming back to it. And
yes.
I'm going to have to dig out this article right now. And
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Never let my schooling interfere with my education. Mark Twain said that, and I think that's got to be relevant to us nowadays. We've got to let take for instance the realities of this lack of understanding about a plant that we've used for millennium. Jim, I know that probably the listeners are maybe getting a little tired of the subject. I'd like to give out the 800 number. It's 1-800-313-9443 and see if we get some comments on this. I think I've been beating this drum pretty good here for the last few weeks, and we may need to change up a little bit. And I know, Jimbo, a lot of people have questions they'd like to talk to you about the industry in Colorado. And, you know, the industry in Colorado is going through the same thing that we're talking about. It's relearning. It's relearning what's been unlearned, or as Mark Twain called it, education consists mainly of in what we've unlearned. And we're unlearning so much about this thing that's happened to us over the last 80 years. And you know, the industry itself is going through an educational process. I know that the harvest is going on right now, or has been going on. Why don't you lead us a little bit more through that? Because I know a lot of people are fascinated by a new industry like that. What's been going on up there the last week or two?
Well, we started harvesting a few weeks ago, and on our industrial crop there, we had a problem this year with birds. And we noticed that last year when we grew, and we managed to take care of it last year, but this year we had such a big crop we couldn't do what we did last year, but we've got probably a quarter of the crop down, and I believe the birds pretty much got the rest of the seed. But it's probably a good thing, because I think they're going to be dropping seeds all over Colorado and growing hemp here.
Well, you know, Mike, Mike last week on the program had mentioned that the industrial hemp was planted intentionally in Kentucky to try to dilute the more potent strains that have the THC in them, and that was an issue that you had talked about too. Do you think that's going to be a serious problem?
This is definitely going to be a problem. It's already a problem in Sawatch County in Colorado. There's a lot of medical growers there. And when the hemp growers come in this year at the beginning of the year, they actually tried to get them to keep from growing their hemp, because they know that industrial hemp has male and female, and the male pollen will pollinate the marijuana and degrade it pretty well. But the state, Colorado State, called the agriculture department and told them, look, this is the way it is. We sold them a license. They're legal to grow like you. And they let them grow this year. But as time goes on, there's going to be a lot more hemp growers, and there's going to be a lot more pollinating. And I think it's like you said, it's already becoming an issue. And down the road, they're definitely going to have to address this. And I'm not sure how that's going to play out.
Well, I know Mike had said that you just can't keep the stuff from pollinating across miles and miles. And, you know, the San Luis Valley is a pretty good-sized place, but I can see, especially with the winds that created the sand dunes out there, how they might rotate the pollen from hemp all over. And this could be a really serious issue. And I think even the laws now for the medical or the recreational THC-producing marijuana plants, I think it has to be grown indoor, doesn't it? Or how do they do that?
Well, you can grow outdoors as long as it's fenced in. A lot of the greenhouses, I'm not sure about commercially, but I know people who have, like, their 100-plant count with their patients, they can do it outdoors as long as it's privacy-fenced. But commercial guys. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'll go ahead and finish. I was going to add.
I was going to say these commercial guys are growing in greenhouses and stuff. So there's going to have to come up some kind of ventilation system and figure it out. I believe it's what's going to come down to.
Yeah, because the hemp is certainly a agricultural. I think it's going to be a huge market because of the availability of CBD. And another thing that we had spoken about was the reintroduction of CBD to the ecostructure. I mean, and that was one of the things that I think we had talked about, how people are mistaking the miraculous effect of CBD with. Actually, what's happening is the reintroduction of something that's been primary to our food system. You know, these birds that are moving the hemp seeds around are going to be adding to the CBD reintroduction to our food chain.
Or exactly.
Hopefully, it's going to do that. Well, what's going on? How does medical marijuana or recreational marijuana get harvested? I know you told me that there were people that were, I guess, companies that had employees that would come down and trim and prepare crops. And I don't understand. I don't think most people really know much about that. Tell us some more about that.
Yeah, when you grow, a lot of people think it's just take yourself a seed and throw it in the ground and it's going to grow and be good. And that's totally wrong. You really, it is a very hard, you can get it to grow, but you're not going to get the yield, the potency of it and all the benefits of that plant by just throwing a seed in the ground and watering it. It's got to be taken care of for sure. But when we get done growing, there's people who are commercially and have their patient count. They have people come in and trim their buds, and it's a very tedious thing. It's something that I just can't put my mind to, but It'll take them, you take 10 people and trim for a week on 30 pounds, It's a tedious, long job, but I know they're coming out with a lot of machines now that you can just run your butts through it, and it'll take a week's worth of work out of employees in 2 hours.
So you think the technocracy will come up with a something?
Well, it's there. Oh, yeah, it's there. I've seen it, and it just helps production and just keep everything turning. You know, nobody wants to hang on to their medical marijuana for that long. They like to turn it and make their money and get it out to their patients,
Right, right. Because there is a pretty good-sized demand for the medical side, and I believe the medical side is probably the largest demand because, from what I gathered in Colorado, most of the recreational marijuana is being consumed by the tourists that come to Colorado. Most of the people that I met in Colorado that are using serious or using it for medication or growing their own for the most part.
Yep, exactly. And a lot of people, like, we talked about, they're coming here on vacation and they're interested in it. They want to know. And a lot of their friends are trying it, and there's a lot of great benefits from it, put into the right ways.
Well, Colorado is just one state that's legalized it. And what I'd like to try to educate the listeners about is what's happening with this industry, because a lot of people that are listening to it are thinking, well, maybe I should go to Colorado and get involved in this industry. How could, say, a young man that believes in what we're talking about here and wants to be involved in that industry, how could someone come to Colorado and get involved in the medical marijuana or the hemp industry?
Well, you could, if you want to get started, you got to come here first. They just don't let you come from another state and start commercially growing marijuana. You have to be a resident, I believe, for 2 years, unless that law has changed recently. But a good thing would be to get here. Go ahead.
Well, I wasn't really necessarily talking about growing pot or growing marijuana. I was talking about the industry, like the trimmers, people that are the chemists. There's a testing industry that's springing up all over Colorado right now, and I know that eventually, even in the San Luis Valley, there will be processing plants, and also I know that some of the people that are beginning to grow the larger amounts are talking about buying some of the Italian harvesting equipment. Tell us some more about stuff like that, technologies that we have no idea about.
Well, the hemp technology, as far as harvesting stuff, is all new here in the States. I know John Deere just made a header for a machine that's actually supposed to process to harvest the crop, and there's some people that they gave it to here in Colorado this year who are going to be trying that pretty quick. And
what's the header?
it's what goes on the front of the combine. It can change out the front of the on the front of the combines. They got different attachments they can put on it, and they call that a header. But we're going to see how that goes. But definitely, John Deere is starting to get into the game for sure. And
so
I know you were talking. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I do the same thing. But you were talking about the people coming here and getting into the industry just to start out. You can actually come here, become a resident. You can apply for it's like a license, and you get it's like a tag you put around your neck on a string, and you can go and then be able to get into these shops and become trimmers and stuff
like
that.
I think there's two different badges that Colorado offers for employees in the industry. I think one is the support personnel badge, and then there's a key employee badge. And I think the cost for the support personnel is $75, I think, for a year for a badge. And then the key employee, or in other words, people that are handling or moving the marijuana, is $200 a year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But there's an industry that is needing that, that needs these kind of people. And where would you go to Denver, or you know, where are the hotbeds of this industry now?
Wait, where's that now? What'd you say?
Sorry. Well, where would if a young man wanted to get involved in the industry and he wanted to be a trimmer, how would he get the experience? Where does he go to do that?
Well, I think they just pretty much, as trimmers, as long as you got your badge, your license, you know, they'll hire you and train you. But you can get online and look all that up. I'm not sure where you would go to, but probably put in license for trimming, Colorado or something. You know, just put in a couple different word phrases.
Well, you know, I did some searching for marijuana grow employees on Craigslist, and I found a source up in I guess it's Nevada that was advertising for trimmers, and I guess they're hiring people to work for trimmers in a lot of states, because now, what is it, 26 states are legal for medical marijuana?
Yes, yep, and I know we get a lot of kids through Alamosa that come here and trim, and then they take off out west to trim for them, and that's kind of what they do all year round, is kind of travel around and trim. So I'm not quite sure how that works going state to state doing that.
Well, like you say, that's a pretty tedious part of the process right there, and it takes a lot of man hours.
Oh,
you say there was 10 people that came in there and spent a week trimming 30 pounds. That's time-consuming, and there's a big demand for that labor right now. I would be willing to bet that there's a whole group of population that would love to take that kind of work. But, you know...
Oh, yeah.
It's not
right
available.
It's not a bad thing.
What about the courses? I know that there's a few educational courses available. I hope... Hopefully, Adam State will come online with theirs pretty quick. But I know Denver is offering some online courses for being a bud tender, or I think there's another name for that. But I think that bud tenders at some of the
bud tender is the name. Yep.
Yeah, bud tender. Yep. But most all of the recreational shops in Colorado have several bud tenders that work for them, and that's an industry that needs knowledgeable personnel. I know that very few of the bud tenders really have an education or any kind of a real useful information about the CBD effects. They're trying and they're learning, but really, if you walk into one of the recreational shops and you ask about CBD or THC or anything, you're probably not going to get much of a knowledgeable response. That's where the doctors come back in on it, I believe.
Yeah, when we first got here back in 14, we started getting shops up there with the CBD products, and they weren't really into it. It was kind of new, but I think we're in like three different dispensaries now. So it's coming along, but you're right about people being educated on it. When you go in and talk to them, it's not a whole lot that they know.
Well, the biggest response, I think, negative response I ever heard was people that would eat the CBD expecting to get a buzz of it. And it does make you feel better, but it doesn't make you high. But, you know, I think that the enlightenment that we've done on the show. Well, these shows are few and far between, Jimbo. There's just nobody talking about it on any kind of national information, radio or television. Right now, most people want to discuss something that's totally irrelevant, which is some kind of Donald Trump face twitches or it just tears me up to watch people just go on and on and on about this stupid tripe that's being pushed on people as information. And when it comes to things that are important, they don't seem to understand that this is important. This is important for our civilization. This is important for our country, because it's not necessarily all about the weed or the marijuana. What it's about is ignorance. And it's about what Thomas Jefferson said, you know, we have to have, it says, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. So, you know, ignorance might be bliss, but we can't expect to live in a free country if we intend to be ignorant. Anyway, I think we're probably going to go to our next break here. Sam, are you still on the line there? We'll go to break right now. We'll be back in a few minutes. Captain Fred, 1-800-313-9443. We'll be back in a minute.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
I think it's really telling that when there's a discussion of pharmaceuticals or with drugs, that most people choose not to educate themselves of what they believed has been illegal or bad for them, and they tend to then not really educate themselves about the other drugs that they're taking. The SSRIs, the antidepressants, the thousands of different drugs. And people say, well, I don't take very much of it. But the reality of it is that it doesn't really take too much to have an effect. The pharmaceutical companies do not want this information out. They will tell patients that if they try an alternative to their pharmaceuticals, that they will discontinue treatment. I've We got a friend that is in the hospital at this very moment, and his doctors gave him that, either or. And he's staying with their prescriptions, and he's still in the hospital. And they're not seeming to make any progress. And Jimbo, I know that you've heard this story before, and all I can say is what's happening is that people are coming to this alternative treatment or what do you adjunct on their own, and it takes a lot of courage to be able to step out of the training, the pigeonhole that we've been put into intellectually, to not recognize that there's other alternatives. So Jimbo, with that, I guess I've kind of cut you into a little corner there. Are you seeing a lot of positive effects on the people that are coming by? And I know you see it daily, but I know there's several people you've been helping for several weeks now. Is that still being, I know you keep an eye on it. Are you still encouraged by it?
Oh, I am totally encouraged by it. And the great thing is when you use these alternative natural plant, God-given plant that we have, like your friend, I guarantee 6-7 days he would be out of that bed and out of that hospital just because he's feeling, not that he's cured, it's not the almighty cure, but he would feel that much better, and it would only get better from there. And I see that with everybody that we treat.
It would seem like it would be worth a shot. And for any, I think, in my mind, for any doctor to isolate a patient from a potential benefit, I think it's almost criminal. I don't see how the AMA, I don't see how they can put these mandates down for things they don't even have any understanding of.
Exactly. And the thing that you were talking, a lot of my patients that are getting treated by doctors are so worried that when they get tested, they'll see the doctors are doing something else. They'll either quit treating them, they'll call the police. It's just crazy what people think. That they've got put into their head over so many years. It's not right.
No, it's not right. Well, Jimbo, there's music coming up. I hope that we've been some help today. I really do. I know that the subject matter may be worked over a little bit the last few weeks, but it might need it. Until next week, this is Captain Fred, Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll see you then.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.